The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you happy to be here this morning? Let me welcome your neighbor with a warm welcome. Ask the person, did you not travel for Christmas? You don't have village? Hallelujah. Well, I'm happy you are here. It's good to see you this morning. Right? Hallelujah. We're going to be so blessed this morning. It's the last Sunday of the year. Glory to God. How many of you are in church on the first Sunday of the year? First Sunday of the year. And you are here on the last Sunday of the year. That's a great achievement. Glory to God. How many of you did 52 over 52 this year? You didn't miss one service, one Sunday service this year. Raise your hand so I can celebrate you. You didn't miss one Sunday service this year. If someone like that is going to celebrate the person, because you didn't miss Sunday, you didn't miss Thursday service this year, you didn't miss Thursday Sunday or midweek service this year. Let me see your hand. No, so celebrate that person by your side though. Make up your mind that next year now, you will not miss church. It's always a blessing to be here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I say thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you grateful to God for the last Sunday of the year? Hallelujah. I'm going to lead us to pray, but that's when I'm done teaching. Amen. Ready for the word? Hallelujah. So once again, wish you a warm Christmas. Before you have your seat. Good morning. Glory to God. So how did you celebrate? Did you step out? You went to nowhere. Just your house. Why are you like this? When will you change? Next year. Is that a promise? Because some of you, you want to promise another next year now. Hallelujah. So I've been teaching us on how to receive a new year. How to receive a new year. And it's been impactful, right? How to receive a new year. And we've dealt with a couple of things. On the first day, we're looking at Thanksgiving rather. When a new year is coming, you must learn the art of thanking God for the previous year. It is your responsibility to want to receive a brand new year without being grateful for the previous year. That's why I always tell people to spend December in Thanksgiving. Not just because of the ceremonial thing we do in December, people do in December, but because it's one of the healthiest ways to receive a new year. But I always say, to receive any new season in your life, make sure you spend the end of the previous season in Thanksgiving. What I mean is, if your birthday is coming up, before your birthday arrives, spend the end of your previous year in Thanksgiving, right? Thank the Lord. And I'm talking about deliberate, intentional Thanksgiving. Where you are grateful to God for the things that He has done, for the job that you got and all of that. I always teach you not to be too conscious. Scratch that. Not to be conscious at all of the things that did not work. To focus on the things that worked. And every time I teach you to do this, you observe many things actually work. It's just that we have a careless attitude of not paying attention to the things that work. And then we focus on things that we feel did not work. And that focus alone becomes our own undoing. Are you following me this morning? So you must pay attention to the things that are working. And I can tell you confidently that there are many things working in your life. How many of you have tried giving God thanks this December? Intentional thanksgiving. Thank God for your friends. Thank God for your friends. Thank God for your colleagues. Thank God for your church. Thank God for your pastor. Are you following me this morning? Thank God for your family. Thank God for your life. Thank God for the job you have. Even though you are trusting God for a better one. But thank God at least for the job you have. Thank God for days, peak days, specific days in the year that God came through. I'm thanking for that. These are things you must do intentionally. Every time a new year is coming, you must spend the previous year, the end of the previous year, right, or the a year that just coming to an end, spend it in thanksgiving. That's number one. And last one, we're looking at preemptive prayers. Why are you here on Sunday? Preemptive prayers. The fact that you have to pray preemptively. Right? What I mean is, don't wait till a new year comes before you start praying. You have started praying before the year comes. It's something I teach. I took time to spend that on Sunday. There are a lot of things you cover you in your prayers. Pray for safety. Pray for your health. I know the healthiest prayer, not the healthiest anyway, but one of the healthiest prayers to pray is preemptive prayers. Why? Because you're not under pressure. I get to the point. There's nothing happening yet. Your health is perfect. You just want to pray concerning your health. You know, you're not under pressure. It's a different case. Like when you've been diagnosed of cancer. You now start praying. I say the number of just I come against cancer. You're already under pressure. When you learn to pray preemptively, you're not under any form of pressure. I feel like I'm saying now. No pressure at all. No pressure at all. You're just praying. You're just praying. You're just being grateful to God. Just thanking God. You're just praying. You're just dealing with those issues. You're just praying. And most of those prayers, they will now come, they will be inspired by the Spirit and not by your circumstances. When you don't pray preemptively, or you wait for things to happen before you pray, most of your prayers will be inspired by what is happening. Oh, I just lost my job. I have to pray for a job. I just fell sick. I have to pray for my health. I get what I'm saying? Are you following me at all? I'm traveling on the highway. I have to pray for safety. But when you learn to pray preemptively, you pray. And it's something I've learned to practice. If I want to travel, maybe I'm going to stay away for like 3 days or 1 week or 2 weeks, I will pray and cover the whole trip in prayer. Cover my stay there in prayer. I shouldn't wait to get there, then I want to start. I get what I'm saying? Pray preemptively. So as the year is coming to an end and the new year is about to start, you should have projected into January. Pray into January. Pray into February. Pray into June. Pray into December. Don't wait for it to come. And I taught this a lot on Sunday. And Jesus practiced that. If you read John chapter 17, he spends all of John 17 praying for us, anticipating what could happen and praying for us. For instance, he knew that persecution would come, so he already prayed for us to be able to withstand persecution. I get to the point. In fact, the way he was done praying, he said he was not just praying for those disciples, he was praying for people that would come after them. So he also prayed for us. He knew they would get they would preach and people would get saved. So he covered those people that would get saved even in his prayers. That's a very powerful thing. That's how you should do your life. You know, when he met Peter, he told Peter, he said, Simon, Satan has planned to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. That's preemptive praying. Satan has planned. And then he charged Peter to pray preemptively. Peter didn't heed it. You know, Peter, pray. I know Peter will be wondering, why are you asking me to pray? There's no problem. But later he said, pray. And because Peter didn't pray, he fell into that temptation. Because he didn't pray. Because, you know, one of the things I said on Sunday, I said, one reason why you should pray preemptively is because when the challenges of life come, or when it's time to make tough decisions, you might not have the time to pray. Not many challenges give you time to go and pray and come back. Are you following what I'm saying now? Sometimes we pray for direction ahead of time. Because when it is time to make life-changing decisions, you might not have all the time to go and wait on the Lord and come back. Are you following me, everybody here? Now, that's why you should have prayed ahead of time for direction. For divine leading. Yielding to the Spirit. So when the time comes, the prayer that you've prayed 6 months ago will be waiting for you 6 months after. Because the thing about it is, no prayer is wasted. Prayers are never wasted. Are you following me, everybody? Never wasted. That's why a father can pray for his great-grandchildren and the prayer will be waiting for them then. Yes. And that's preemptive praying. So don't just wait for things to come. I always say this to parents, to newlyweds. I've said it on Sunday too. As I said to newlyweds, when you get married, don't wait for the doctor to say you cannot give birth before you start praying for your baby. Once you guys start doing courtship, start praying for your children. Start praying for how many kids you want to have, how you want to have them, the order you want them to come, the kind of brain they will have, what their destiny will be, that they will serve the Lord. I know what I'm saying now. Pray ahead of time like that. Pray ahead of time. So when the time now comes and you're having those children, the children they are born into prayers. I get it. They are born into prayers that already existing before they came. And so you notice, their life cannot be anyhow. Are you following what I'm saying now? There are many of you now that, you know, some of the benefits you are reaping to that, the prayers your parents prayed for you. That's the truth. And then you should also learn to do that for yourself. Pray into next year. praying to me. Are you getting the point? And that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about today. What I'm talking about today will reflect what I'm teaching now. But it's good you pray. We pray. You pray into your year as it's coming. So don't just end this year having fun. And that's the deception of the devil. The year, the end of the year is always full of fun. So people even forget to pray at all. So they spend the first quarter of the year setting the year while others are already running in the year. So around March, somebody says, I've seen setting my year. March. Whereas some people are concluding the year. It's not by March, it's another Christmas. Approaching already. Are you feeling what I'm saying now? So they spend the first quarter of the year. February, I'm setting my year. March. April, by May, say yes, year now starts. By May, the year is coming to an end. And that's why you plan ahead of time. You pray ahead of time. So don't just spend the whole of December having fun, enjoying yourself. I get the point. Spend time to pray. And that will lead me to one more thing today. How to receive a new year. I hope I don't take so much time today so I can have some time to pray. I just want to share something very simple with us. And that's the fact that one major way to receive a new year is to set your goals and your visions for the new year. And I said something on Sunday. The plan of God is that every year will be good. Every year. In fact, the plan of God is that next year will be better than this year. But like I always teach you, the fact that it is the plan of God doesn't mean that it will happen. Yes. God has planned, for instance, that next year will be better. God has planned that 2026 will be better than 2025. God has planned that 2027 will be better than 2026. It's his plan. Why? That's how he operates. Said, I know the thoughts I have for you. Thoughts of God, not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's how he operates. He said, the path of the church is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. So he expects that your life will get better. That's his plan. Are you guys following me this morning? But it may not happen if you're not deliberate about it. Now, I told you this and I'm saying it confidently. And anybody that is close to me has, if you study my life, you know it is true. I've never had a better previous year. I've never had a year that I will say, I'll look back and say, last year was the best year. No. Every year I come into is always better than the previous year. I've always had that record. Because of what I'm teaching you now. I learned it very early. There is no year. Every year of my life has been additions. Additions. Every year. Even if you look at us as a church family. There is no year you will look and say, we retrogressed this year. Not in numbers. I get what I'm talking about now. Not in achievements. Not in finances. Never. There is no year we will say, last year we had more money than this year. Never. And it's not just because of God. It's because of intentionality. And that's what I'm teaching you today. Because when the year is coming, I pray into the year. And then we set plans. We set goals. And what I'm teaching you is beyond what people call New Year resolution today. I'm talking about proper goal setting. Proper goal setting. Setting your plans and your visions and your goals for the new year. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. Of course, that popular scripture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. People that have trained with me earlier in the ministry, you will know I teach on this a lot. Both one-on-one and when we are in groups, I teach on this a lot. I have been doing that for over 10, 15 years. If you have been very close to me, you will know that at the beginning of every year, I always ask you to send your plans for the year. Are you aware? I always do that every year. I've been teaching on this for long because I learned it very early. That when you plan into the year, the year always turns out well. I'll show you how to achieve that. Habakkuk 2 verse 2. He said, and the Lord answered me and said, write a vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. In our verse 3, and I said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. So he was saying that this vision you're about to write will not happen now. But write it ahead of time. So you don't wait until you want to start business to not start writing vision. Write it ahead of time. Write the vision and make it plain. That he may run that it. You know what it means by he that may run that it? Make it so plain that anybody that reads it will understand it. Many of us don't have clear cut goals and visions. We are right complicated thing. Say next year we go blow. That's your plan for next year. We go blow. What else? Next year we go buy Benz. And another one that makes me laugh is
Next year is my year. That's not planning for a new year. What do you mean by is your year? Which year is not your year? Last year wasn't your year. This year wasn't your year. So, what will happen next year? You know, you have to realize that when you are talking, you are engaging angels. And angels carry an intelligence. That intelligence they carry is that they are taught not to act out of what you demand. So you've got to make clear demands. So next year we go blow. That's not goal setting. That's not planning. Now this is not a goal setting class, so I'm just teaching you from scriptures. I get the point. It's not a goal setting class and all of that. But then, you need a vision, you need a plan for the new year. Before the year comes. You need a vision and a plan for the new year. So, as the year is coming to an end, do you have your plans already for next year? Not in your head, written down. Written down. I'll give you some examples. There are areas, for instance, I want to talk about this later, but Lord said I should talk about it now. There are areas these goals must cover. For instance, you must have, I'll mention like four or five areas that your plans for next year, your goals, your vision for next year must cover. Number one is your spiritual growth. You must have a plan for your spiritual growth. That plan is not I will do better. You have a goal, a clear-cut vision. I want to step up in my prayer life. I will step up in church attendance. I will step up in my life. There's a clear-cut spiritual growth vision. I'm going to finish the whole of the Bible next year. I'm going to be more concerned. You are making a clear plan. Because if you are not deliberate and intentional about your plan for your spiritual growth, you will not grow spiritually. You will not. And I'm going to get to that very shortly. So there should be clear-cut plans. Like, I'm going to grow. You know, what is your plan for your spiritual growth? What's your plan for your spiritual growth next year? You know, why it's good to plan around your spiritual growth? It's because life is busy. Once the year starts running. Some of you that work corporate jobs, your company is not even giving you breathing space at all. So if you are not deliberate and intentional about your spiritual growth, you will get into March or April to find out that you've not done much. How many of you have ever woken up after 1 month to find out that the last time you prayed was 1 month ago? Has it ever happened to you? Has it ever happened to you? Why are you looking at me like I have a problem? You only nourish 1 month. 1 week. 2 weeks ago. Just go and say, it's been long ago. And it can happen. And it's not because you don't like God. Just because there is no plan. And I'm going to show you how to set the plan. Have your goals. So there should be spiritual growth goals. As the new year is coming to an end. It's coming. Spiritual growth goals. Spiritual growth plans. What is your vision for spiritual growth? How well did you do this year? What do you want to do next year? Are you following the point? Spiritual growth includes things like your prayer life, your study life, right? You know, love work, all of that. That should be a goal, a plan you have around that. Then number two, that should be ministry goals. Now, ministry and spiritual growth are not exactly the same thing. Spiritual growth talks about what you do for yourself to get better in your walk with God. Ministry talks about what you do for others. So how many souls do you want to win next year? Those are ministry goals. So don't follow me this morning at all. How many souls do you want to win next year? How many people do you want to disciple next year? I have my soul target already for next year. Are you following me? You know, it's because you don't have any soul target. That's why when we say it's not evangelism, you are dragged. If you have a soul target, they won't drag you. You will bring out yourself because you want to hit your target. So how many men do you want to get saved next year? How many do you want to disciple next year? What are your ministry goals? Any Christian, you know, that's the point. That's why I said it's not a goal setting class. Because if in goal setting, they'll tell you set goals for your business. Listen, any Christian who doesn't have a spiritual growth plan, a ministry plan, is an unserious Christian. You must have ministry plans. The Bible lets us know, you know, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation, things have passed away. He said, God has reconciled to himself in verse 18, and has committed towards the ministry of reconciliation. So, every believer has a ministry of reconciliation. Every believer has a task of reconciling men to Christ. You must have a plan around that. And I tell you, plan all you want. And plan all you want. If you don't include ministry plans, you are wasting your time. And let me even make it very clear to you. Why it's so important is because everything you do will end here. Only one thing will count in eternity. That's your ministry plans. If you get money, if you have money, money is going to end here. If you win souls, the souls you win will count when you get there. Are you following me now? Some of you that this 2025, you are not a worker in church. Put that in your plan for next year. That's a ministry goal. That's a ministry goal. Some of you didn't take church seriously this year. Put that in your plan that next year I'm going to take church seriously. That's spiritual growth plan. So you must have ministry goals, spiritual growth goals, and all of that. Please plan around that. Are you following me, friends? Plan around that. Not just in your head. Write it down. Write it down. I started practicing this as far back as far again admission to the university. Every year. Every year. Are you following the point? Every year. Of course, the next is personal development goals. Personal development goals. What do you want to do to develop yourself? Do you want to take a new course next year? Some of you that you have your degree. Do you want to do your master's next year? What is your plan to develop yourself personally? Education, intellectually, for instance. Even career-wise. And it's because you don't ever set these goals. That is why you observe the same place you were in your career last 3 years is still where you are till now. Because there is no plan for personal development. The same place. For like 4 years, you've been saying, I'm a BSc holder. 4 years! I'm a BSc holder. I'm a BSc holder. When will that BSc expire? When will you get tired of being just a BSc holder? I say, I'm a BSc holder. The thing about achievements are, when you achieve something, we'll celebrate it. When that achievement stays for too long, it becomes stale. You know that's the truth. It becomes stale. If you don't achieve more, if you don't add to that achievement, we are already tired of it. What else are you going to do? When you graduate from your university, we'll all come and sign on your clothes to celebrate with you. But even after 7 years, all you still have is a BSc certificate. We are tired of you. So what is your personal development goals for 2026? Do you have it? Do you want to learn a new skill? The skill you have, do you want to get better with it? What are your goals? I'm telling you, I've never had a better last year. Never in my life. And this is why. Because every year is clear before me. Every year is defined. So you come into the year, that's something you are pursuing. The reason you go to the village and you stay in the village till 15th of January, because you have no goals, no plans. Till 18th January, I'm still in the village. It's over my cousin named me, Banko. 18th. Clear cut goals. So what are you doing to develop yourself? Personal development, career, academics and all of that. What are your goals? Some of that are students, right? What is your plan? Your GP last year could not make 1 minute call. 2 points. So what is your plan for the coming year? What is your plan for this new year? So people's GP cannot flash MTM to MTM. That's a terrible GP to have. Change from your ways. Do you get what I'm saying now? Your GP is just 1.6. 2.2. Camry. Now, if that is you, I'm not saying to make you feel bad. But if you feel bad, then I think it's okay you feel bad. Now, set the goal for the next year. You know the thing about it? If you're not intentional about life, life will give you anything it has to offer. Anything. And what life will give you will not be good. Because the one that controls this earth is the devil, is the God of this world. So he will serve you anything. Say, make we just take. What's your plan? Say, let me graduate first. Well, that may be a third class you are calling for. So what are your goals? Personal development goals. Have such goals, right? Because, for instance, by crossover service, that's like in 4 days' time, maybe 3 days' time, we are going to be praying. At the time we'll get to, I'll ask you to bring out your goals and your plans and begin to pray with them. Now, if you do not have any, that will be a wasted session for you because it will be long. That's how you know people that are going into the next year with nothing. They will just be sleeping. Say, pray for your goals. You just have to.
Huh? Yes, I'll blow. And I'll make it. We'll go buy Benz. And that's what. That's what they plan. And that's why I'm doing this teaching. So, what are your personal domain goals and all of that? It's good to set it. What are your career goals? It's good to set it. I am never impressed with anybody I see at the same spots at two different times in the year. I'm not impressed with you. I say with confidence, you can't meet me at the same spot two times in a year. It's not possible. It's not possible. You meet me doing the same thing, but on a whole new level. Have you not, if you worshiped us for like 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, every new year, there is something new I'm telling you we're going to do. Have you observed that? Every new year. Every new year. Now, we are still at the finishing. We've not completed this project. Right? I've already told you what we're going to do next year. And what will happen after we complete it? It's already written down. Already written down. Listen. When you have goals and visions, it will be something driving you. Oh, let's say to my sons in ministry, I say, there should be something that's working in you other than your blood. And that thing should be passion for your vision. Passion for your vision. Are you following what I'm saying now? Passion for your vision. Passion for your goals. It should be waking you up. Those days, I had Bishop Edek was say, he said he doesn't need an alarm to wake him up. He said his vision, his passion wakes him up. And it's actually true. It can actually be true. You know how you know it's true? You say it's not possible. Let me tell you how it's true. Have you observed that when you're writing an exam, you don't sleep for long? Alarm or no alarm, something will wake up. That's if you're serious. But for real, for most people, alarm or no alarm, when is exam period? You are sleeping with one eye closed. You know what that tells you? You are actually conscious when you're sleeping. That's the truth. Do you know why you wake up late on Sunday morning? You don't sleep in church in your mind. If you sleep in church on your heart, you wake up in the morning. When we were younger, we used to enjoy going to the village a lot. December, some people enjoyed traveling for Christmas. December, it was fun. Like, a lot of fun. A night before that morning, I wake up like about 60 times per morning. You wake up and check time, it's 1 o'clock, sleep. You wake up again, it's 1:45. Because it's, now that's something exciting is waking you up. Now, 2026, what is it that will be keeping you awake like that? If there is nothing like that, that's how you're going to have a very boring year. Let me tell you, life is boring. Life is full of routines, and routines are boring. Sleep, wake up, sleep, wake up, sleep, wake up. Just routines. If there is no vision, no passion, no goal you are pursuing, life is boring. It is the presence of those goals and the fact that drive you that makes life exciting. That makes you want to wake up every morning because there is something we are doing today. I feel I'm talking about now. I wake up every day. What are we doing today? I build this spiritual hub. I'm excited. When we are done, what else are we doing? A pastoring can get boring without visions. We just come church, preach in the morning, go back, come back by 4 p.m. Preach. I'm going to encourage every pastor here listening to me now, whatever listen to this teaching. At every time in your local church, have something you are pursuing. Have something you are trying to do. Set a soul target you are trying to meet. That is a driving force. Visions are driving forces. They drive you. As a family, have your goal. Have your goals. Have your visions. That's what keeps the marriage exciting. That there is something we are trying to achieve together. Are you guys following me this morning at all? We're trying to achieve something together. We are trying to build. We are trying to do this. We want to start a new business together. Let's go together and go and check out this facility to know if it's good for our business. Let's go together and go. That's a driving. Are you following, friends? That's what makes marriage exciting. If not, marriage just becomes a place we come together to just sit and talk. Are you following me now? So, visions, your spiritual growth goals, your ministry goals. What are you going to do for ministry, for instance, next year now? And if I set your ministry goals should be your church goals.
What is the plan you have for church? I mean, how many people do you want to bring into church? How do you want to win? So how do you want to serve in the church? What is the vision for your local church next year? What is the plan your local church has? That's why meetings like Immersion, all these, don't miss those meetings. But that's when we're going to outline our vision. The last Sunday of Immersion, the Sunday of Immersion, is going to be Vision Sunday. We're going to share with our vision for the year. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, you have to catch that vision and run with it too. Add it to your vision. Because one of the major ways to set ministry goals is that the vision of your local church will become part of your vision. Are you following what I'm saying? That's ministry goals. If a local church says next year, we are going to space to go and do a meeting, that becomes your ministry vision for next year. Are you know what I'm saying now? So have ministry goals. Have personal development goals. Have your financial goals. And your financial goals should not be, I go make them. It's not a goal. Now, to start with, what we'll talk about that, where have you been able to assess your finances this year? Now, because some of us don't even know, you know the thing about lack of assessment is, without assessment, you don't even know if you're making progress or not. There are businesses that celebrate, but are actually retrogressive, they're not aware. Well, there's no proper assessment. So where was your finances this year? What do you want it to be next year? That's the goal. I'll still come to how to achieve these goals. But have such goals that this year, you know, I was making ₦1 million every month. Are you following me now? Yes. I want to be able to scale that up to ₦5 million every month. I'm trusting the last goal. Are you following me now? That's a goal. That's a clear cut goal. Right? This year, I was making this. I want to be able to scale. I will see there is a how around all of this. Because you can write this and it will not happen. Like, you can write all of them. And not one will happen. But at least you start by having them at least. There are some that don't have no goals. No financial goals. You think money will just walk into your house? Now, you have to have such goals. Even as a ministry, there was a time, some of ministers can remember, there was a time I told them, let us target to trust, let's release our faith for at least 200,000 every month in church accounts. Do you remember this? For at least 200,000 in church accounts every month. Because the previous year, we were not having up to that. I get to the point. We're not having up to that. The full month will pass. We lost 200,000 in a month. I mean, partnership offering, love offering, ceremonial giving, unceremonial giving, seed, fruit, plant, stem, not up to 200,000. Now, it's not just something you say, well, God, Corona. We had a plan. We set it as a vision. One of the things we did, which I'm going to get to, we started praying about it. I get to the point. Started praying about it. And from there, as the new year is coming, in my heart, I've already set financial goals now for the church. Well, I follow, friends. Have your financial goals. That your business every month was bringing in 20,000. That's why you get into the year so cold. Because there is no goal. Some people don't ever post about their business till February 28th. When they now post, we are back. Where did you go to before? It's because there was no goal you came into the year with. If you came into the year with a monthly profit of 200,000 or something, it means you're already pursuing something. Generally, shouldn't meet you sleeping on your bed. People normally ask, where do I go to the village? I go to the village during this. I came from the village this morning. When am I coming back from the village? 2nd of January in the morning. I'm just first because I just want to celebrate Christmas, New Year with my people. 2nd in the morning, I'm back. Why? I'm pursuing something. The way I normally see it, when they ask me, you know, I go, yes, why? And I can get you here in our room. That's why I talk. And they will just laugh about it, but I've gone. 2nd in the morning. And I'm not coming to come and sleep. Because life is busy. I get to the point. Life is busy. Don't realize that first you are even eating Christmas chicken. Some people have already. I get to the point. Some people are already making it. Some have made your one more salary on 1st of January. And that's not about being materialistic. That's about having your goals. I feel what I'm saying now. What are your goals for the next year? Financial goals. Have it all. Let me tell you, don't be poor. And let me tell you, one major sign that you're about to be poor is that for the past 5 years, your finance has not made progress. You're about to become poor. Now I'm telling you, it's not to make you angry. It's to make you sit up and have a plan around it. And when we get to how, I'm going to say something about the how. Many of you have goals or have the how, don't know how to plan around the goals. You're trusting God to increase. You've been having the same plan around your financial goals. I had this in my spirit. For the past years, it's not been working. So I'm going to get a big job in the coming year. Now, if you've been having that same plan, it's not been working. Well, I still have that plan next year. But please, add to it. Now decide to start business. Start selling pepper. Because if you just have the same... I feel what I'm saying now. Every year, the same thing. There's this job that's about to click. The whole year will end. Another job is about to click. The whole year will end. Now add something to it. And I'm coming to that very shortly. Have your financial goals. Are you learning something this morning? Does this sound like church? Okay. There are days I talk like this. It's a miracle service, but I'm going to teach you this. That I'm going to speak God's word. The miracle will happen around your plans and your goals. That's what I'm expecting. Because God amplifies people's dreams. And one of the things that setting your goals will do to you, you will get to December and your testimony will be really dreams come true. Are you aware that dreams come true? Dreams really come true. Some of you are not aware that dreams actually come true. There are things I have today that were my dreams yesterday. Yes. My dreams yesterday. You know, some time ago, I drove to the village. And I was driving around in the village. Not this time, just about 3 years ago. Driving around the village. And I saw some children, you know, small children running around the car and all of that. And they remembered many years ago to when people used to drive into the village and we used to hang around their cars. I would be like, I'll drive this car. All of, I get what I'm saying now. And today, this is happening. Dreams come true. But you have to first have the dream before they happen. I get the point. Dreams come true. So, financial goals. What else can I say? I can add a few more things. Financial goals, you know. Any other thing you can add? The health goals. Yes, some people are just having health goals. What are your plans for your health? You spent the whole of this year visiting the hospital and all of that. What do you want to do? Do you want to lose weight next year? Do you have to watch your weight? Do you have to... Are you following me? Praise God. Do you want to take workouts very seriously? What do you want to do next year? And it's very important too. Because, you know, when I was teaching you about divine health, there is intentionality that follows divine health. I told you guys about the man of God that I know, great man of God. He's 80s now. Very healthy man, him and the wife. But you know one of the secrets they have? They are so intentional about their health. Apart from speaking the word of God, confessing the word of God, they don't just eat anything. They have special chefs, well-trained, employed, that cooks what they need to eat. Not what they are hungry for. Like what they need to eat, health-wise. Now, that's intentionality around your health. Now, when you start getting to your... When you start getting older, you have to start thinking like that. I get to the point. Your plan next year may be no more carbonated stuffs. And some of you might stop taking carbonated drink next year and you become richer. You now find that that's where the money has been going to. Amen. Slow down on things like suya, shawarma. I get to the point. No, somebody is saying, how can I slow down what I've not started? Let me start next year. I will slow down next year. So we are different levels in this thing. So if we have planned, next year will be to start it in at all. But take your health seriously. You know, we all started this thing we are doing as children. But you know, we're no longer that young. Are you aware? You're no longer that young. And the moment you realize that, you have to know that you're no longer that young. Almost everybody here is actually 30 or pushing towards 30. Yeah, I get to the point now. It's a fact. But some things your body could take some years ago, you can no longer take it. Before you know 40, some are pushing 40. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. We have to be more intentional now.
It's not following me at all.
Take your health seriously. So have other goals. There are things I didn't mention. We can add to it because there are peculiarities. What do you want to do about this and about it? Especially if, please, if you struggled a lot with your health this year, set health goals. Set health goals. I get the point. Because that health challenge will not disappear suddenly. It won't. That health goal might involve praying for your health every morning, speaking God's word over your health every morning and every night before you sleep, refusing to eat this and to eat that, watching this and watching that. Set those goals. That's how to set your new year. Are you following me? Now, one of the ways you get, now the major way rather, because people know, how do I know the goal to set? How do I know what to set about these things? I'm going to tell you a very simple thing. Pray. It is via your inward man, because there is something people do that doesn't work. People, now I'm going to talk to you as Christians. Your goals and your plans will not just work because you set them. The best thing to do is to set your goals and make sure your goals align to God's plan for your life. I get to the point. When I just said set ministry goals now, you say thank you. So I say next year I'll form church. Next year I'll start church. Next year I'll travel to Indonesia to go. Is that where God is sending you to? Now, before you set your goals, that's why it's in prayer. It's through your inward man that you know what is going to set as goals. You say, set financial goals. You say, thank you, sir, for that. Next, I'm making 10 billion. It's okay. 10 billion. It's okay. You're just exciting yourself. It won't happen. James chapter 4, let me show you this. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. James 4 and verse 13. Are you there? Are you opening it? James 4 verse 13. He said, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. For what you ought to say is, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Let me read it with NLT. Now, hear what NLT says so you understand it. He says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We'll do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? I know what I'm saying. How can you come and say tomorrow, next by June, I'm going to plant, start a new business. Do you know what will happen in June? Are you sure that in June there will not be another lockdown? I know what I'm saying now. Imagine people that made business plan for 2020. So I'll start a big business. There was no lockdown. That's why it's not just enough to say, I just want to achieve something. I'm going to set my goals. You now sit down and start writing. Next year, I'm starting a Okereka business. Next year. What if that next year they now ban importation of clothes? Which is why you don't just stand up and just make your plans. That's why I said it's not a goal setting class, as it were. It's not a motivational speaking thing. But people will tell you, just set your goals. You set all those goals, you're setting them from your head. Whereas, the Bible says, you don't even know what happened that next year. You don't know what happened next year. You don't know if by that next year, we just gather, and then they'll say, from now, the government can come with any policy. Government can come with any policy. I get to the point. You can say, next year, I'm traveling to Spain. And suddenly, the Spanish government said, we don't want no Nigeria in our country. No Nigeria in our country. Shut down, no visa for any Nigerian. Now, this is why, even though people teach goal setting, it shouldn't be emotional thing. It's a spiritual teaching. Read that verse again. Today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain town, you will say. He said, you will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? He said, your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. Verse 15, I said, what you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. In other words, find out what the Lord wants you to do and make it your goal. That's how to set your goal. Which is why there are two things I'm going to say today. You want to set your goals very effectively. Number one is prayer. Number two is meditation. If you practice praying and meditation upon God's word, God will let you see into what he wants you to do. I get to the point. When you pray a lot, then the thoughts will now begin to come into your heart. Let me put this. Those thoughts coming from prayer is God speaking to you. It's your inward man speaking. When I say pray and let God speak to you, it doesn't mean you'll be hearing a voice saying, "Samuel, Samuel." He said, "Did you call me?" It must not come like that. But when you spend time praying, those thoughts coming to your inward man, that's the Lord speaking to you. You just hear a thought about this. So practice praying. In praying, you open up yourself to your inward man to hear, because your inward man knows. Your inward man knows. That's the inward man, that's the inward voice, that's the inward witness. It has knowledge. It knows. Because that inward man is one with God's spirit. The Bible says he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So your spirit and that of God's spirit are one. So that inward man knows from God's spirit. Are you following me this morning at all? So you pray. Spend time praying. Spend time praying. Spend time praying. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Then practice meditation. You know, one of these I normally tell people, any Christian that does not have quiet moments will miss God a lot. I'm not talking about quiet moments where you're just allowing it to fill your heart. I mean, quiet moments where you're just sitting down and you're letting God's word fill your mind. I always explain this. There's a difference between meditation, Christian meditation, and what they call Eastern meditation. All this yoga and the rest of that, that's not Christian meditation. Yoga or Eastern meditation says, just free your mind. You know all those kind of teaching, free your mind. Don't let anything, just let it go. Let it go. The problem with that, that's not meditation. If you free your mind, the devil will come and occupy it. Yes, Satan is the god of ungoverned spaces. You can't, and actually, nobody actually frees his mind. What Christian meditation actually teaches, Bible meditation, is don't free your mind. Fill your heart with the word of God. So, you've studied the Bible, you've prayed, you're just sitting down, turning God's word to your heart. In that, man, I tell people, my most practiced Christian activity is meditation. I pray, but I practice meditation more than I pray, actually. My most practiced activity. Joshua 1 verse 8, he said, this book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth. He said, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night. He said, that thou mayest observe to do what is fitting therein. At the end of the day, he said, thou shalt have good success. That verse is the secret of success. Joshua 1 verse 8. Get God's word into your heart. Turn it over into your heart until you begin to speak it. He said, you shall have good success. Pray and put God's word in your heart. In that zone where you are praying and meditating on God's word, thoughts will fly in. And let me even tell you, some of these thoughts will come to you, not when you are praying. I mean when you are done praying. When you are just going about your activities for the day. When you are just talking with a friend. That's why you should pray. And that's why, no, don't ever say, I pray that nothing happened. There's nothing like that. When you pray over the year, just finish praying and just keep praying. You will just find out you are not talking with a friend. The friend will just say something. Does it happen to you at all? And it just strike a chord. It's okay. I never really thought about this. We could try this next year. That is the result of your prayer coming to you. Now, if you are not a person given to prayer, your friend would say that in, it will pass you by. Because God is actually trying to speak to you today, your friend. But if I give you the prayer, you will be able to catch it. That this day I just spoke something that I need for next year. It's not following me at all now. Do you know, even as I'm preaching now, somebody, there are five persons here that have written down a particular vision that they will carry out, that will pursue next year. And that thing I said was just a digression. I just said it in passing. It's even a joke I cried, but it has struck a chord in your heart. It happens. That's why it's going to be given to prayers. Prayer meditates on God's word a lot. Your spirit becomes sensitive, very sensitive. That when those things are flying, because it might be a movie you are seeing. I mean, you can be seeing a movie. It might not, I mean, a carnal activity as it were. But something will just drop. You can just somebody wearing one cloth. You say, wow. We could try this. We can be trying this and be selling. We can be trying this and be giving it. I get what I'm saying now. Now, this is God speaking to you. But if you're not giving to prayer, those things will pass by. And you will not even know that they passed you. So don't just say, oh, it's time to make our plans.
What are the plans? Next year, we'll buy Benz. After I buy Benz.
Now, can you put car as a plan for next year? It's a good one to try. It's also a way of developing yourself personally. Right? You can decide to buy a car next year. Because I didn't mention that when I was talking about the plans you can have. You can have plans around property acquisition. You can decide to buy a car or to buy a land, all of that. But you know, it's good you also make sure that is actually what God wants you to do next year. One of the reasons why any project I ever embark on, I always get it done, is because I'm always sure it aligns with what God wants to do. Really, even as simple as buying a car, I want to be sure God wants us to buy a car next year. I want to be sure. And that being sure is my drive. If I already know God wants me to have a car, no, nothing on earth will ever make me not have that car. Because if God has said it and I've said yes, the other thing that interferes must be the devil. I won't let the devil win. The Bible says we should resist the devil. But when you're not sure whether God is on your side, you know, listen, let me teach you this. I think I heard it from Kenneth Hagin also. He said, don't make your plans and ask God to come and bless it. Find what God's plans are. The plans of God already blessed. I get what I'm saying now. That's why one of the things I will start next year for you with this coming year, I mean next year, exam next week, will be on plans and purposes. How to hear God, how to know the plan of God, how to know the mind of God. Are you following me? Find God's plans already blessed. Don't make your plan and say, Father, bless my plan. Mm-mm. Find his plan. The blessing is already on his plan because whatever he has is blessed. So spend time praying. Let God drop those ideas in your heart. Getting married can be a goal next year for someone. It's a good goal to have. I'm going to get married next year. Be sure that's what God wants to do next year. And then, if it's what God wants to do, he's already blessed. And because you are sure that's what he wants, you can engage him. You can talk to him. Say, Father, this is your will. So I'm sure it's not you holding it. So what is holding this thing now? You'll now find that there's one red-headed devil. You cannot go ahead, go against it. So don't just make plans. Let it align with what God wants. You know, like I told you, when you pray, for instance, how did Nehemiah decide to go and rebuild the temple? He wasn't praying, and the Lord said, my son, he just saw somebody and said, how is the temple doing? He said, the temple has been brought down. It struck something in him. It can be a casual conversation. I get what I'm saying now. Those plans are developing. So by now, you should have a place in your notes written 2026 where you are writing things down. If you don't have, start now. Just be praying and be meditating on God's word. Some of them will come while you're praying. Some of them will come after you've prayed. Some of them will come while you're just walking on the road. I wish some of you know, especially some of you that are giving the prayer, I wish some of you know that not every thought that crosses your mind is a casual thought. Most of those things are not casual. Some of those things are answers to the prayers you prayed yesterday. Are you following me? Some things you prayed for in prayer will show up in the night where you lie down to sleep. I wish you know that. That's why, again, you cannot be a careless Christian. Your mind must be connected at every time. Don't be a careless is not what I'm looking for. Should I use the word carefree? Always pay attention to what is happening around you as a Christian. Especially if you're giving the prayers. God is speaking to you, but you don't know. God is speaking to you. Now, there is something about seeing that somebody bought a car. And you say, I bought a car, me too, I'll buy my own. That's not God speaking to you. But you know, there is something also about seeing somebody buy a car. And you see that car, and you feel like, wow, I can do this next year. Not out of competition. I get the point. But just that what he did showed you possibilities. I get what I'm saying now. You can see that a church did this. You say, wow, it happens to me. Just see a church, they did this. Well, this is good though. We can do this. And how, one of the ways you know it is God is that once you just say, wow, we can do this, and that thought begins to come, he begins to give you specific instructions that will make what you want to do very unique. So even though you got that idea from that person, it's coming in a unique. I get what I'm saying now. Not because you are trying to make it to not look like their own. That's what I'm saying. But it just begins to give you ideas. You can actually do it this way, do it that way, do it this way, do it that way. So wow. Some of the ideas that the Lord put in my heart, I was sharing with you last Sunday about Christmas next year. I saw that when I saw a church. They did something. And the Lord said to me, that you should be thinking about that. And that was, immediately I began to pay attention to it, the Lord said, do you know how many souls you can win around Christmas if you implement all of this? So I had to start writing them down. Now, again, that's why it's good to be giving to prayers. Because God speaking to you must not always come when you are praying. But you should be a man giving to prayers. That's why we have things like prayer drive. Let's come and pray for 6 hours. Is that all this prayer? It's making your spiritual sensitivity very sharp. Very sharp. That people can be having a casual conversation and you're hearing something else. You can be seeing a football match, but you're seeing something else. I can see the point. A preacher can be watching a football match and God is showing you how to arrange your stadium during your crusade. Are you guys following me this morning at all? So God speaks to us. Pay attention to prayers. Pay attention to meditation. Spend time meditating on the word of God. A lot of time. Turning God's word over and over in your heart. Over and over in your heart. Over and over in your heart. Then you will always know what to do. So align your vision or your plan to God's plan. Don't just make it carelessly. Don't make it and expect God to come and bless it. There is something God already wants you to do. He has already blessed that thing. Find what that thing is and align yourself to it. Align yourself to it. So don't follow him at all. Find what is align yourself to it. There is something God really wants us to do next year as a church. So all these areas I mentioned in the area of your finance, find what God wants you to do. And like it doesn't mean God is speaking to you. God is shouting to your ear. It just means that there are things God will prompt in your heart. The seasons where you are giving to prayers the most, 70 or to 80% of the thoughts coming to your heart are not your thoughts. They are God's thoughts. That's why I always tell people things like, if you're in a relationship, are you here? And I ask you to pray, and you pray for long, and the more you keep praying, the more it's coming to your heart to end that relationship. Sister, end it. You really don't need to pray too much. You really don't need to, because the thoughts that come in seasons, not when you pray 1 hour prayer, in seasons where you pray, where I give you too much praying. Some of you find out that you're in a relationship, we would do meetings like Zoe or like Imashon. Day one, day two, by day four, you are tired of the relationship. That's a sign. Because when you are most spiritually sensitive, most of the thoughts, in quotes, coming to you are not your thoughts. They're God's thoughts. And he's just sharing them with you. I get the point. Yes. The Lord said, I should say, he said, in the course of this teaching, and as you keep praying after now, you will see what you didn't get right about your plans last year. Because somebody is saying to me, I made my plans last year, they didn't happen. He said, I will show you what you didn't get right. Because plans actually come to pass, dreams come through with God. I taught you on the dream, I remember that teaching. Dreams come true. Yusuf had a dream. His dreams came true. He had 2 dreams. They came true. In fact, they came bigger than he thought they would come. One of the things the Lord will do for your plans when you make them right is that he will even amplify the plans. That you thought it would come out this way, it will come out 10 times bigger than that. How many of you are at a place in your life now where you thought you will be in 5 years' time? You're already there now. Anybody like that? Yeah. You made plans and you thought, this will happen sometime. But some people just brought those plans closer. That will be your result by next year. That's all the things you plan for next year. Some of them will happen as early as. Are you following me, friends? Some of you, by March, those things have happened. By March. Some of the things you are pushing to 2028 will just happen in the coming year. Because that's what God does. You make your plans. He amplifies the plans. He makes them bigger. He makes them better. Bigger and better. Some people are saying, next year I'm going to try to make it 2-1 at least. The Lord will just shock you. A first class will come up from that result. But that's what God does. That's what God does. Ine merem dima. Sing it again. Yeah. Sing it one more time now. In emerem dima. Yeah, yeah. One more time. In a merem dima. One more time. In a merem dima. Come on. I feel a strong unction in this place. Do it one more time now. In a merem dima. Aya. You know, one of the things that will happen, this is why you have to make your plans according to God. Now, God just put that very strong in my spirit now. When you don't make your plans following your inward man, You will make plans that are within the realms of possibilities in your mind. And that's the problem. When I ask you, have your seat for a moment. Have your seat. When I ask some of you now to make plans around your finances, some of you, the plans you are going to make is next year. This year I was earning 200,000. Next year I will scale it up to 200,000 to 400,000. What is happening? You are just making plans following the possibilities in your mind. And that's the problem. And I heard that very strong from the Lord. Make your plans, your projects plans, or plans for projects next year. You will just say, maybe this year you had you already have 2 million, so you cannot say next year I'll buy a car next year. At least you have 2 million. You have just reason. If I add 1 million to it, it can make it. You make plans around the possibilities in your mind. But the problem is, when God now holds your hand and show you his plan, you will no longer do your possibilities. The plans you now make, when you see them, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. If you had asked Mary, that God just told me now, to make her plans for her life, she would say, I will have beautiful children. And that's a good plan. I have 4 boys and 4 girls. Good plan. But she would have never thought that God will make her have a baby without ever, I get in the point, meeting a man. Not talk of even giving birth to the Messiah. Don't make your plans according to your head. Oh, are you following me, friends? Don't do that. Because some of you, the plans in your book are things you've thought out in your head. Things that, at least in your own head, you believe they're at least possible. Now, I'm not saying you should write impossible things. I'm saying you should write what God puts in your heart, no matter how impossible it sounds. That's actually how to know that God has led you. So that when it finally happens, you will know that this one is not me, it's God. If we want to make our plans as a church with our level, using our head, you know the kind of things we'll write. But every time God shoots us, sometimes 20 steps ahead. I told you guys, people look at our church and say our church is rich. And I say, well, you are correct. But the truth about the matter is that before we came into this year, I said it in church jokingly. All the money we spent last year, all the money, is not up to 1/3 or 1/4 of what we spent for Holy Spiritual Hub this year. How would that have ever crossed our mind that was possible? Now, if I want to think that out, I'll put this building in the next 5 years. That's the logical thing to do. It's not following me at all. Yeah. But that's why it's good to listen. Because that's the thing about faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't begin to have faith for what is not God's will. You can't. It's not excitement. I'm going to have faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So if you already know what the will of God is, you can now begin to release your faith for that. So get to God in prayer. Listen to the things He will drop in your heart. So if you want to start a business, the thoughts coming to you are just things within your reach. And it's okay if that's what God is putting in your heart. But what if it is not what God is putting in your heart? What if it is what your own limitation of your mind has made you believe? What if you are just planning within what you think is within your reach? If you always plan with what is within your reach, you will not be a great man. Let me tell you. You see, salary and all of that, the best it can give you is, let me speak freely, chop money. You know chop money? Money to eat and to take care of your family. You will just be an average person. I mean, the best of salaries you can earn. It takes God to put ideas in your heart to drag you to where he wants to take you to. So we're talking about soul winning plans. Some of you, you're just like, I beg, I don't have, I'm so busy. So my soul winning plans, let me just put 2 souls per month. Because I mean, I'm even busy. Where will I even have time? Do you know, I go to work from Monday to Sunday. I only manage to sneak out on Sunday to come to church. I do that every week. So when will I even see the 2 souls? So let me just see the 2 souls. So in a year, I'll just win 24 souls. Now, that is what your mind is carrying. But you don't know what God has in plan. Why not listen to him? He will say, put 100 souls there. How will I achieve that? He will begin to show you. You don't even know whether you're going to leave that job mid next year to a bigger and a better job that will give you more time. It's not following me at all. Don't plan with your head. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So if I'm going to start closing now, I'll say this. Now hear this, friends. When you make this, set these goals, plan around them. The reason why people set goals and they don't happen is because they don't have they know what they want to do, but they do not stay longer with God to find out how it will happen. So there is no plan. There are visions, there are goals, but there are no plans. So every goal must have strategy. Let me use war terms. It could be a goal. We want to go, as Nigeria, want to go and fight which nation now? Huh? U.S. Anna. You want another bomb, but you want another airstrike. Please. We didn't say that. We didn't mean United States of America. We're talking, that's more U.S. around our area. So maybe one job for one nation. That's a goal. But then, how? How do you want to achieve that? You see, just to carry gun and shouting, iwe, iwe, iwe. You know, that's the problem about some battles. That's why people lose. Iwe, 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 iwe. You just... And then you are coming with knife, you are coming with clubs and all of this. The people you are coming, they have AK-47. They will not even shoot. They will shoot it in the air. All of you will scatter. And that's how many of us make our plans. Next year, I'll win 200 souls. How? By my God. Olga, you don't have any plans. You are planless. Now, that's a good goal God has given you, but how do you want to achieve that? Next year, I'm going to up my salary, my income to 1 million naira per month. How? What God cannot do. That's the problem. That money will not exist. Are you following me, friends? Well, that's the thing. So what are you supposed to do? Simple. Have your strategies. For instance, Jesus speaking about something like this in Luke 14 verse 28. He said when a king is about to go to battle, that he sits down to analyze the army he has to be sure that his army can fight the other. I get to the point. Now, same thing about building. But there should be a plan. When God told us we are going to build church, he said we are believing. But then we asked him how. He gave us a plan. We came up with a plan. Okay, everybody should give. Make a commitment of 1 million. Make a commitment of 2 million. That's the plan. Because when we say we build church, we judge not fall from heaven. You gave towards it. I get what I'm saying now. Now, that's the same thing about your visions. What are you going to do? So if, for instance, you have... Let's talk about spiritual growth plans. I want to be able to be serious in my work with God. That's a plan. I want to be able to finish the Bible. So what are you now going to do? How many hours will you read the Bible every day? How many chapters will you read every day? Not just mention it vaguely. What time? I'm reading the Bible from 6:30. The thing about reading the Bible and prayer is that if you don't have a specific time for it, you will not read it. You won't do it. Life is so busy. If you're not deliberate about Bible study, you'll never do it. And so, what time now? We've been about from 5:30 in the morning to 6. I'll start by reading I'll read at least 2 chapters of the epistles every day. That's the plan. I feel what I'm saying now. I'll be praying every day from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, or from 4 a.m. to 5 a.m., or from 9:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. That's a plan. You should have a plan. That's spiritual. So it's not enough to have goals. Your goal is that you want to be supposed to walk with God. Then what is the plan around it? How do you want to achieve that? Say, next year I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to go for better. I want to lose weight. How do you want to achieve that? Yeah? By your God. You will add, though. The anointing will make you fat. And the yoke shall be broken. Do you remember this? Now, what are you supposed to do? And make realistic goals. That's why when you set goals, make plans around it. Realistic plans. For instance, and that's why, you know, when God speaks to me about things, I stay longer in prayer and in that meditation to also get the how. Someone wrote a plan for me, for himself, not for me, about 2 or 3 years ago. And when I said, I started laughing. He said, why are you laughing? I said, you are not serious. He said, he'll be praying for 6 hours every day. I just looked at it, I just laughed. You know, the reason is because of all these teachings, you know, all over the place. If you've not prayed for 10 hours every day, you are not serious. Nobody that is not a full-time pastor can pray 6 hours every day. Even full-time pastor. Because they have a congregation they are taking care of. It's good to be realistic. What you should rather do, I say, this is not possible. 6 hours every day, you won't do it too. He says, sir, I've planned it. I say, fine. He didn't even do it at all. They said at least once in a week you will do all night vigil. I say, you want to fail in life? Because you are going to fail properly. I mean, fail at everything, even your studies and even that prayer. You still don't pray that prayer. Now, am I against such things? No, there should be plans. I give you an example. I'll be praying 1 hour every day. Study my Bible every day. 1 hour, and all of that. Then I can decide that the last 3 days of the month, I'll do a 3 days fast. That's the plan. I have at least one all night vigil to pray for 4 hours or 5 hours or 6 hours. Are you feeling what I'm saying now? That's a plan. That's a plan. But if you want to go the other route, it's still okay. 7 hours every day. You will do well. But you know, there are a lot of other things in life. The one thing you have to know about God. God is not against your career. He's not against your family. He's not against your business. He's not against any of those things. He wants to do well in all of those things. Now, don't look at me like that. You don't pray more than me. You cannot pray more than me. So I'm just giving you simple advice. If you want us to pray, I'll kill you. A young man came to pray with me once. And he came with a very arrogant attitude. He's a great man. We are still friends today. He's a great man of God today. He came. He said, Emoji, we need to pray. I said, okay. He said, that was my first time meeting him. He said, we don't have a prayer place. I said, I have. I took him to one mountain. See the kind of mosquito on that mountain. So immediately we started. He just went, sharper there. And I just, you know. You know the thing that I know you are going to. I just pissed myself. Shande baron kalatem bradish katem brada. I was just going. So we went for like 30 minutes, 1 hour. He knelt down. I said, this is not passion, this is tiredness. But me, I knew, so I kept going. He knelt down. I was saying, rakatakatakatada. So by the time I knew he was tired, I kept praying. He tapped me. I said, let's summarize. So we laughed about it after everything. After I said, emoji. He said, you want to kill me? You don't look normal. No, it's not like as if I don't pray, but I'm just saying there are other things around your life. That's what I'm saying. But the foundation of all of that is prayer. So take your prayer life seriously, but don't make a realistic plan. Also, I'll be doing vigil every day. Vigil every day. Even a full-time pastor cannot do that. If a full-time pastor does vigil every day, his church will not grow. Because it takes more than holding vigils to get a church to grow. There are meetings you have to hold. There are strategy meetings. Are you what I'm saying now? Yes. But then have the how around it. You want to make 10 million naira every month. How do you want to achieve that? by that plan you made, what you already see clearly that one source of income can no longer sustain you. So you have to add something else. Yes, that's the how. You've said I'll get a bigger job. The job is not coming. What are you going to add to it? So don't just have the goal in your mind. Have the how of achieving it. And that how, how do I know how to achieve it? Simple. The place you got the goal from, the how is there. She is from God. The how is with him. So that same way the ideas will pop into your heart, the how will pop into your heart too. I've experienced that a lot. And the how can be something very simple. That when it comes, you'll be like, why did I think about this all the while? It tells you it's God that was talking to you. Why did that? Oh, wow, now I did this cross my mind. This is very simple. I would have thought about this all the while. Are you following me, friends?
Yes.
It happens to me, it happens to all of us. So stay in prayer. Don't just have the way. Don't just know what to do. Find out how. Because Mary asked the same question. When the angel told her, you're going to have a baby and all that. He said, how will it happen? Seeing I know not a man. Learn to ask how. Not asking in doubt. Right? But asking in inquisitiveness. You really want to know. How do we get this done? So when the Lord says to us now, as Lord has said to us, we're going to do a crusade here. He has shown us the size of the crusade he wants us to have. He has shown us the budget. We worked out the budget. So we worked out the budget. So I have to ask him. I'm asking him, how do we go about this? How will this happen? Because I've seen that if I say let's go to church account, that money is not there. So how are we going to do it? Because it is when you do not get the how. Now this is very important. Lord, just put it in my heart. Share around ministry plans. If you don't get the how of ministry plans, you will corrupt them. Are you following me? You will corrupt them. You know what it means to corrupt a plan? To corrupt something. It means God gave you something pure, a pure vision. But you now want to achieve a divine agenda through human means. You will corrupt it. So maybe the Lord put it in your heart that, okay, we are going to have crusades. And it's going to cost 100 million. You know, you should have asked him. We stayed more in the spirit to know how. You now begin to come up with your own ideas. You say, let us go on Facebook and start searching for funds. Is that what God asks you to do? What is happening? You are corrupting that particular vision. Because you are achieving it all the same. You know, with God, the end doesn't justify the means. It is the means that justifies the end. You know, I've said that many, many times. Imagine God told Mary, you are going to have a child. And she says, thank you, sir. And then rushes to go and sleep with a man. At least, at the end of the day, it's the end that justifies the means. Anybody say, baby boy was born. No, the baby boy will not be Jesus. It's not following me this morning at all. So don't be like Mary. When they say, you shall have a baby, don't say, thank you, my Lord. Jojo, my boy, my husband. He will just go now. Quickly. You know, we'll be waiting for our wedding day. But now that you said we'll have a child, I see you've okayed it. I'll just move now. That's not how. Ask the Lord how. And the answer was given in that verse. How? He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Simple. So that was Mary. The Holy Ghost will do it. So find out how. So when I see your plans for the year, some of you that will be able to send it across to me. If you're not able to do that, see if you can show your team lead, your PGCI teacher. Show somebody. Let it carry the goal. Let it carry the how, the strategy. You get the point? I want to step up my personal development. What do you want to do? I'll pick a course. I'll pick this course and pick that course. Look how I want to go about the money. Have those plans. And then, I feel what I'm saying now. Have those plans. I want to step up my income. This year, every month, I was on 200K or 300K. And it's not actually meeting my basic needs. So half of the time, I was broke. So what am I going to do to step up my income? Well, first of all, I'm giving you an example. First of all, I will take a personal study on financial prosperity. You know that's a plan. I'll get books on financial prosperity. I'll listen to tapes like that. I'm going to study on it intentionally. What I've found out is this. Anybody that was broke and became rich took a particular intentional deliberate decision that changed their lives. You don't become rich passively. You don't go from being broke to being wealthy passively. There must be a drastic decision you have to take that will change everything. I told you guys, for instance, talking about this, about Kenneth Copeland's story. When life was so hard for him, he did the same thing. He carried his rickety car and drove that car to Kenneth Hagin's ministry and told them to take the car. To take the car and give him books worth the car. They saw the car. They said they can't collect the car. The car was not even, nothing was good about it. He just gave him the books for free. He went and started eating them. The day Pastor Mademi told the story too, was same thing. He said, was following Shobha Edeko. I listened to him say it every time. He would meet Shobha Edeko and say, sir, what is the secret? And he would tell him, the word. The word. It's the word. So he said, one of those days he was really angry. Because they waited. He said he went with his wife to see him. They waited from morning till evening. I guess he said that the bishop didn't know he was waiting. Because bishop knew, you know, he always, then, I don't know whether he does it now. I heard, he said, bishop used to give preference to his spiritual sons and all of that. So he didn't know he was waiting. So bishop was leaving and saw him say, ah, people are here. He said, yes, so I didn't know. So what is it? He says, sir, you know, things are not changing. Church is not growing. Finance. He said, the world. So he left that place angry. I thought, what do you mean? But if this man doesn't want to tell us what is working for him, let him do what he did. The world. Tell us what is working for him. He said, but the wife told him, well, if he says that's what is working for him, why don't we just try it? So they went and packed all bishop's books that they could lay hands on. And he started eating them. There must be a deliberate action you have to take for things to change. Are you following me, friends? So you can decide, well, I'm going to get all Christian books. Get books on finances. That's a place to start. I'm going to improve my giving. That's a place to start. I'm going to add one more source of income. I want to start selling this now. I want to expand this. Apart from my business, you know, I was telling someone was telling me that, you know, civil servants don't have money, you know. And I told the person, I said, well, civil servants are very well underpaid in this country. And that's very terrible. That's very bad. Because our minimum wage today cannot sustain you for 3 days. I mean, if you want to live a comfortable life. What's minimum wage now? 77,000. Okay, maybe you can reach 1 week now. It can, yes. 70,000 at least. If you fill your gas. It depends on the week. Oh. But because there are certain weeks, it's like everything in your house reaches at the same time. This, when your gas, yes, I said, your electricity unit will finish, then water stops rushing. Then that same week, your phone spoils. So there are such weeks. I'm just telling you that it happens. Don't think it's the devil pursuing you. There are just weeks like that. That's what I used to wonder. Is it that these people used to know when I used to have money for everything to start spoiling? You know, it's so bad. But I told the person, I said, most civil servants' offices close by 4. Most of them don't even stay till 4. Some of them by 2, they are home. So what do you do from 2 till 6? Now, this is about making plans. I get what I'm saying. Financial plans. What about adding something between 2 and 6? Something you can do in the evening, in the afternoon. You can cook. There are restaurants that are basically dinner or breakfast or lunch. So you come back around 2 or something. I know a restaurant that is basically lunch. They start selling around 12 or 1. They stop selling around 5. Everybody goes home. And I'm making it big. I'm talking to you about making plans. Don't just write, I'm going to increase my plan to 5 million naira. My monthly income. Then I'll buy a car. I'll buy a house. I'll buy land. How do you want to achieve that? Now, that's not unachievable. But that will not happen by wishful thinking. So you you write the how. Then two more things before I close this morning. Have you been blessed? Two more things. Write the how. When I don't setting out the how, as God will show you. I wish I had more time to explain that. But let me, I believe God will explain the rest to you. Pray. Pray. I said you got it from prayer. Pray again. Prayer should precede your plans and succeed your plans. So pray for that. Because when you've prayed to be able to receive it, you pray. What came by prayer can be sustained by prayer. So you pray. Pray and pray and pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Even the strength to pursue it. But have you ever made your plans? And after making your plans, you got into the year, you even lost the vigor and the excitement and the drive to pursue those plans. The reason is simple. The drive, the vision came from prayer. But you are not praying. You wanted to pursue it by your natural strength. It takes strength from God and by His Spirit to pursue any divine agenda. It takes strength. That's one of the signs of a pastor that has stopped praying, is that he loses spiritual vigor and fervor and strength to pursue things. So he begins to show up to church every Sunday to just preach and go home. There is nothing new the church is pursuing. So there are churches that can stay for 6 months, they've not done any special project, not financial project, not soul winning project, no crusade, no program, nothing. They are just there. Most of what is happening is that the pastor has lost vigor and fervor. And it's in prayer you get those things. So you pray. Because if you get ideas in prayer, you sustain it in prayer. The strength to carry it will be in prayer. I feel what I'm talking about now. Just to be in prayer. So you see, throughout, as we're doing this project, we're doing in this church, we kept praying. We kept praying. That prayer kept supplying strength. And it keeps supplying strength to keep going. Right? There are days we will come, the account is not looking like what we want. But what gives us strength to know that we can continue this project is because we're praying. That's how it works. But you see your own, once your plans hit any roadblock, you get tired. It's not because you encountered a problem that is too much. You were not praying. Because every vision you wrote down there, we experience challenges. I feel what I'm saying now. Everything is not prophecy, I'm telling you plainly. But it's in prayer that you get the strength to keep going. Yes. You say, I'm going to start. One thing I've observed, I said this jokingly, people that want to get married. Some of you that got married, you observe that once you begin to plan your wedding, there are specially packaged financial challenges that show up. Yes. You now find out that somebody that said, that is owing you, that said, I'll pay you next month, we suddenly refuse to pay you. Because the point, that's what made people give up. It's something I've known. Once you're about to do any divine agenda, there'll be a position. But it's in prayer that you get the strength to keep pushing. And that's in prayer, though, is that prayer gives you further ideas. Further ideas. Because sometimes you've executed what you know to execute. You've exhausted your ideas. You don't even know what to do again. Have you ever come to the point where you don't even know what to do again? You've done everything you know how to do on this matter. It's not working. Just get the prayer. Yes, what to do is there. You just finish praying. Pray, 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 and just lie down. You might just be conversing with someone casually. The person will say something. Wow. Yes. You now see that you can keep pushing. So pray. And then the next thing I'm going to say is, and the last thing is, attack your visions. Attack your goals. Break your goals down in a way. Let me tell you why many goals don't come to pass. It's because they are big. And they are, listen to this, don't miss this. They are big. And there is nothing practical that the person that has the goal is doing today to achieve it. Let me explain it to you. Give me an example of a very big vision. Big dream. Huh? To launch what? Okay, you want to own a bank. Is that one big? Want to own a bank? Like, you want to own a bank? Now, is it your dream? And your account, you don't even have money in the bank. I want to own a bank. Now, most times, it just comes to your mind. When it comes, you are so sure it is God that brought it. But with time, you just lose it. The problem is this. You didn't attack it immediately. What are you doing today? At least, what are you doing today about owning a bank in 5 years' time or in 10 years' time? What if you begin to take courses on financial management? I get what I'm saying now. What if you begin to take courses? What are you doing today? Because that's the thing. As next year is coming, what are you doing every day that is taking you closer to that dream? What do you wake up every morning? What are you doing every day? Every day. That is taking you closer to the dream. Every day. When, before we even got this land, what are we doing every day? We are going every day to search for land. Every day. Every day. Every week I'll call. Have we found? Where are we? So most times they'll just call me. We saw somewhere. I'll just get there. We'll look at it. We are praying too. We are stepping out every day. We are raising the money every day. That's something you are doing daily, taking you closer to your dream. You want to lose weight. Maybe you are how many kg? Maybe you are 96. Abi? That's overweight, right? Abi? Is this kg or pounds? Kg, yeah. So you are 96 kg. So you are overweight. You want to drop to 70s, okay. Which one is underweight? Rapunia hunna depends on height. Can you wait? Can you? What if you? If you want to see at 30, you're underweight. No matter your. If you want to lose weight to maybe 70 or something, that's something you are doing every day. You say I'll regard register in the gym. You don't have money now. What are you doing every day? What of skipping? You ask every day because if you don't attack your dreams, let them have visions operate. If you don't attack it already and you'll do something towards it, you will lose the drive for it. There are many things you've lost drive for. Both of us know what I'm saying. And the problem is that the kind of excitement that it comes with when you get it, you are so sure it's God. By the time you lose drive for it, two things, you stop praying and you are not doing anything to push it. So for instance, we're talking about the crusade in this area. That will happen mid next year. I tell you what we are doing. I've already seen a venue that we are going to use. Once we enter January now, I'm going to set up an LOC for the crusade. Local organizing committee. There was something you are doing every day, taking you close. I feel what I'm saying now. So we are going. Don't just say, when the time comes, we go run them. Before that time comes, you will lose passion to run it. It's not following me this morning at all. Wake up every day. Let every day you wake up take you closer to where you are going to by your activities. Every morning you wake up. So my vision is to make a first class. Okay. How many hours do you be reading every day? You wake up every morning. What do you do every day? You watch football match from morning till night. You're not going to make it. And when exam is coming up, you want to do TDB. You not break down. I used to have a friend that he wanted to suddenly make first class in our final year. I told him it's not possible, but he didn't listen to me. So he started, he wasn't drinking coffee. He was eating, you know these coffee seeds? You know coffee seeds? He will eat it and stay awake. Sometimes 2 days straight. God came through for him. Yes, God came through for him because when he finally slept and refused to wake up, the time had ended. But he actually slept and didn't wake up. Real life story. No, he didn't die. But he didn't wake up. They were waking him up. I've never seen that kind of thing in my life. One full day. Next day, they were waking him up. So when they came to call me, they said, this guy is not waking up. He has been eating coffee seeds. Coffee seeds. He woke up, don't worry, didn't die. But I'm just saying, I told him, God helped you. What if that thing struck before you finish the exam? Now, that's not how to achieve goals. That's not how to achieve goals. Because he didn't still make first class. Not even a 2-1. You can't wake up. No, you can't just wake up like that and want to succeed. It doesn't work now. You just want to wake up and make first class. What were you doing in your first year, second year, third year, fourth year? Final year now. You see, after Pastor preached church on Sunday, I told myself, this is my year. Once you can just decide to decide that your GP maybe for this next session will be 5.0 throughout, that can work. That's achievable. And how it won't be achievable if you just begin to read through your exam period. So have your goals, have your dreams, and wake up every day to pursue it. That's why I said once it's 6 a.m. on 1st of January. If an attending close of our service here is already one thing you are doing towards your year, because you're going to pray, declare, and all of that. Now, those amen they are shouting, that amen you will shout that night will not change anything. If you don't wake up on first in the morning and ask yourself, so what are we doing today? About my spiritual growth plans. How many chapters am I reading today? How many? I get to the point. Do you know one of the ways things some of you, for instance, can do towards your spiritual growth is to decide as next year is coming, you talk to your pastor, talk to somebody and say, sir, I want you to hold me accountable. I want to be reporting my Bible reading to you. That's already a plan. I get to the point. That's already something you are doing towards it. Be intentional. Do something every day that takes you closer to where you're going to. Every day. Do something every day that is closer to your dreams. Every day. Are you following me, friends? Next day will be very good, though. But that is not just an amen matter. It's a question of intentionality. I've already said that I'll end next year big and better. But that's not a coincidence. Even while we traveled somewhere yesterday, while we were still driving to the place yesterday, mom and I were still talking about our plans for the house. More of it. Because that's actually how to end the year. And then you start. So once you enter the year, you begin to pursue it. You understand what I'm saying now? You don't just sit around and say, well, it's going to happen. What's that thing people say in Latin again? Because people that know should tell people that don't know. What will be, kesera, sera. Nothing is seraring. You see that kesera? It will not sera. It will not be. We will pursue those dreams and see them come to pass. Have you not observed that once we get into, like I already told you, once we get into next year, we're going to set up an LOC. I already told the ministers. Set up an LOC for the crusade. It's one of our biggest plans for next year. Okay, we already have a soul target for this church next year. I have it. So once we get into next year, you begin to hear some things. Some things you're going to hear from January and February, we're going to have mission outreaches, light up events. Why are we doing all of those things? We have a soul target. And we want to see it come to pass. If we don't take steps every day, it will not happen. So you hear of light up this, there will be things like 3 weeks light up events. Light up is missions. You pick an area, go to that place. Then you have another 3 weeks light up events. You hear all those things. You will hear of mini crusades in some areas before we have the mega crusade. We have mini crusades in some areas. You will hear, because we are doing something every day, taking us where we are going to. Now, what are you doing? You filled all your books with plans. What are you doing? Wake up every day and be taking at least one step to where you're going to. At least a step. Are you following me, friends? At least a step to where I'm going to. Next day will not waste. It will not. We have soul winning plans. You've literally win 300 souls. How are you going to do that? Which day of the week is evangelism day? Which day? Saturday? Friday, when do you wake up? He says, I'll just meet people in here somehow. You will not win one soul. Even your own soul will almost be lost. You have to be deliberate about evangelism. So I'll get better with the power gift of the Spirit next year. I won't be able to heal the sick and raise the dead. How do you want to achieve that? There should be a day you are going to hospitals. There should be a day you are going to the streets to pray for people. If there is not such intentionality, let me tell you, I have an alarm on my phone. It's been there for years now. It even rang this morning. I was praying one day and the Lord said to me, pay attention to word of knowledge when you preach in services. Because I'll put ideas in your head. So I wrote it on my phone. Every Sunday morning it rings. Trust God for a word of knowledge this morning. Every Sunday morning. So it's something. So when I wanted to get better in those word of knowledge things, I was deliberate. I said that every day I come to service, I will give it an opening to flow. I feel I'm talking about here now. So things don't just happen. People don't just become great. People plan towards their greatness. Then God now amplifies your steps. And that will happen for you next year. But God amplifying your steps means you at least have to take a step. I feel what I'm saying now. Please take a step. You have to take a step. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stand to your feet all over this place. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift your voice. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost for like 5 minutes. I just sensed something strong. Pray in the Holy Ghost on top of your voice all over this place. Don't stop. Pray. Don't stop. We are done already. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You don't know what to say. Just be praying. My next year will not waste. Too. Just pray in the Spirit towards the coming year. Pray, pray, pray. Don't stop. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I like some of you. Some of you are still picking up. Pray. Pray. There's a greater plan the Lord has for you in the coming year. Dreams do come true. Plans are achievable with God. Plans are achievable with God. Plans are achievable with God. Dreams come true with God. Pray, 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 come on. Pray, pray. There's a location that God has for you. There's a location that God has for you.
God wants to begin to sort out miracles for you in the next year. Miracles for you in the coming year. If you have dreams, begin to pray over them already. But if you have projects you want to accomplish, you've seen them, pray. Those things are achievable and they are possible with God. So pray. They are possible with God by the help of God and His Spirit. Pray. Shambara Desh Kobrende Shataya. Online on ground, pray. Your next year will not waste. It will not. The plans of the Lord that He has for you next year will become a reality too for you. Pray, don't let next year be yet another 365 days. I just came out and I just left. Make sure it will become a remarkable one for you. That you will look back and say, 2026 was that year that my spiritual life changed, that year that my ministry did better, that year that my finances took up, that year that I accomplished this project. Pray that prayer. The Lord is bringing this teaching because many of these things you are thinking about, all of them are possible. Yes. There are possibilities with God, though. There are possibilities with God.
Emmanuel, yes, we are not alone.
God is with us. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Oh, when we pray, he answers us. Oh, when we call, he hears us out. For we are not alone, no. God is with us. Emmanuel, I am. Pray. There is someone here, the Lord has been putting it in your heart. Say, next day, you've got to work in my house. And the person I'm talking about, you've been serious with service in God's house, but you slacked back. The Lord said, next year, pick it up. You've got to work much more in my house next year. We are not alone. Woo! Emmanuel. Emmanuel. We are not alone, no. God is with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. I say we are not alone, no. God is with us. Aya. Listen. One of the major prayers we're going to pray next year. Listen. We're going to pray from 31st crossover service. We'll be for strength. You will not break down with the coming year. You will not get tired in the coming year. You will not stop pursuing your visions and your dreams halfway. That's one of the things that God has blessed me with. And he keeps blessing me with it. And that's how I learned the secret. Isaiah 40. Pray that what you want the Lord shall be strong. That's one of the things. Big secret. That's why if I set a goal for something that will happen in February, and it doesn't happen in February, I'll still pursue it till June. I'm not that I will say it didn't happen. There is strength to keep going. You will enjoy it in the coming year. I say you will enjoy it in the coming year. There is strength to keep going. Strength to keep going. Strength to keep going. Because every God-ordained vision, the devil will come for it. There is strength that is still keeping us going, even in working out these projects. If you pay attention, you find out that work happened this week. We continue working this week. There is strength to keep going. There are people that will easily give up and say, it didn't happen as I thought. I thought. You know, many of the things you said, I thought the Lord spoke to me. God actually spoke to you. You just gave up on it because it didn't happen when you thought it would happen. He said, maybe I was just thinking. You are not thinking. Most of those people really spoke to you. Are you following what I'm saying now? God said you should start the business. God spoke to you. But because you started in the first week, second week, third week, 1 month, 2 months, not one customer came and said, maybe I thought God was speaking to me. There's something that God is now telling me. Then I said, I can't start selling Vaseline. But the problem is, sometimes you lose strength. I'm praying for you for strength. I say you will not lose strength. You didn't hear me. I said you will not lose strength. You will not get tired in the coming year. You are getting stronger and stronger. Stronger and stronger. You will be strong to see to it that whatever God put you out will come to pass. You know the Bible tells us concerning Jesus. When he was in Gethsemane, the Bible said after he prayed, Luke chapter 22, the Bible said an angel came and strengthened him. So one of the things that Jesus' prayer did for him in Gethsemane was that he gave him strength. Strength to carry on to the cross. Your vision may have tough parts, but you need strength to keep going. What was the secret of strength? Jesus went and prayed. He prayed 3 times. That prayer brought strength. How did Isaiah put it? They that was upon the Lord shall be strong. They shall mount on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be tired. As you pray, strength is supplied. I said, as you pray, strength is supplied. Weakness is gone now. I said, weakness is gone now. Never let anything that happens to you or that the devil tries to do next year rob your strength. If you need to feel bad for a moment. If you need to be down, if you want to be down for a moment. But make sure you keep moving with strength. Because hear what the Lord said to me, once there is strength, once you move by the strength I've given you, everything you've written down and much more is possible.
Once you will not stop. Are you following me? Are you got what I'm saying? I tell you this, 80% or 85% of visions that are not achieved, they don't get achieved because the people that receive those visions stopped pursuing the visions because they got tired. Hear what the Lord said. Even if you gave a time frame for the vision and it didn't come at that time, don't stop. I get what I'm saying. I'll buy a car in 3 months. At 3 months, comes, don't buy the car. Don't you still need a car? You still need a car, so keep going for it. Are you following me, friends? Yeah, you still need a car. I win 300 souls in 1 month. 300 souls comes to one only 30. Well, that's a tight. You won 110. So keep. You still need 300. The point is, if you did win 300 souls in a month, why should you give up? The 300 souls you are meant to win, they are still unsaved. Are you what I'm saying now? So keep pursuing. Make sure you don't lose your strength in the battle. Are you following me now? There are two people in this church. No, three. That the Lord will give a voice next year in the area of music. I won't say more than that. The Lord amplify their voice in the area of music. But they must learn not to get tired. They must learn to keep. Are you following me, friends? They must learn to keep moving. They must learn to keep moving. Somebody asked me, say, Asa, this place, the walls have not gone up as you expected. Are you discouraged? I say, me? Never have been. And the person said, why? I said, I'm going to tell you a very simple reason why. Even if we stopped this place at foundation level, it is still a great fit for us as a church. If you know where I'm coming from. Now that's perspective. Are you what I'm talking about? Even if we stopped at foundation level, scratch that. Even if we just bought land this year, don't think it's a great fit. Great achievement. Now, sir, what am I going to do? You will see what will happen. Are you following me? You will be shocked. You will leave here on one of these Sundays, come back next Sunday, you are in a different place. That's the truth. But there is strength to not stop. You say, I'm going to make GP of 5.0 last semester. You got 2.2. Now, keep going. I have a son that told me he was meant to make first class. It's one of us here. Very bad story. Was meant to make first class. One lecturer, one, told him, I've seen that if you have an A in this, my course, you are going to enter. I've seen, but you will never make it. Gave him B. Like he made A, he said, I'll give you B. So when he told me after, because he wasn't in our church then when it happened. When he told me, I said, wait for if I knew you then, either you or the lecturer would have left this. One person will leave the school for each other. He said, so he told me, I feel it has frustrated my academic journey because I have plans for my academic, I wanted to use the result to apply for scholarship. I said, listen, two things. You can still apply for your scholarship. But then second thing is, what if you get your master's and make a first class of your master's? It will cover your BSc results. There is strength to keep pushing. Are you following me, everybody? There is strength to keep pushing. I said, do your master's. Make sure you make first class. Cover up that result. If like, get 3 masters, first class, all of them. Because he has the brains. He knows he has the brains. Next year will be good. I'll give us the word for next year by crossover service. It's heavy. Quite very heavy. But we are all going to live to see them come to pass. Not just in our lives as a church family, but in your life individually. In the name of Jesus. Make one request from the Lord. Just one. Anything you want God to do. The grace of God is so strong in this place. Make one request. Make one request. One request. Pray from your heart. Make one request. You need a baby. You need a job. You need anything. I make one request. Now, whatever it is you've asked of the Lord, by the anointing upon my life as God's prophet, may those things come your way speedily. I say, may they come your way speedily. Faster than you thought. In the name of Jesus. The Lord will bring it to pass. I said the Lord will bring it to pass. The Lord will bring the money to your doorstep. He will fix your health for you. He will sort out your family challenges. He will fix the issue you are trusting Him for. He will give you that property you are praying for. He will bring that job to reality. The Lord will give you that promotion. That which is in your heart now will now become a reality. In the name of Jesus, it's done. Yes, it's done. I said it's done. If you want to rejoice, rejoice well. I said it's done. Hallelujah. Are you excited this morning? Were you really, really blessed? Now, here is where you sit down. After you write your plans and your goals, pick one or two projects you want to accomplish. And I say that in person. Lord, say that, I'm going to say that again. One thing. Buy a car next year. Buy a land next year. Pick it as a project. I feel what I'm saying. Buy a land next year. Get married next year. Pick one project you want to accomplish. Now, there is what we call faith project. I don't know if I'll have time to get to that. Maybe at a mansion. But I also to call faith project. Pick one thing, one faith project. Are you following me? One. Or two. Or three. Then you start praying over them. Over that one, releasing your faith. While you are walking towards other plans that you've written down. Are you following the point now? Pick one. That means something big. Something bigger than you. Don't pick it from your head. Pick it from the Spirit of the Lord. Pray and let Him lead you. Let Him lead you. And one of the testimonies I want you to give by this time next year, that everything I wrote, I exceeded them. Have you ever had any year like that? Anybody? Let me show you. If I ever had a year that I said everything you wrote down, next year will be that year. It will shock you. Some of you, by June, you've said everything you wrote. And I was talking to mom recently, and I told her, I said, God really has to give me big money next year. So she said, why? I said, hey, now. I said, do you know why? I said, because the kind of things God is putting in my heart for next year, there are some people that was really pointing out to me, said, you give to this one within next year in millions. You give to that one. I thought that God really, I told that one of them, I said, God said I should give this guy 1 million naira sometime next year. So he really has to give me big money. Now some of you, you never let God tell you that kind of thing. The little God tells you that your destiny helper is coming. Allow God tell you bigger things. I get to the point. Yes. Let God tell you, you are going to give that guy 3 million next year. Say amen. You're going to give my servant 10 million next year. So that a time is going to come when, as the new year is starting, what God is telling you is, you see this sister, I wanted to build a house for her. This widow and her children. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. And begin to believe God for such things. I get to the point. That's a faith project. I want to build a house for that widow and her child and her children. And you just discuss with your wife or with your husband. You guys begin to pray about it. And start walking towards it. have the kind of year that when December comes and you look back at the year, you are happy. Because, and let me tell you why, that's what these things I'm saying, write them down. Write down your plans. Because January to December is a long time. You might get to December, you might even forget all those plans that you made. But if it is written down, you know one of the things it does, it helps your thanksgiving. Because you can at least go back down and begin to say, you wrote these things and they happened. You're not grateful to God. So even when the devil is bringing all these things, this one did not work, that one did not work, you can just go back to your list and you see what worked. The Lord will bless you. I said the Lord will bless you. How many of you are so sure that by this time next year, you will be on a whole new level? I mean, practically. And it will happen. Some of you are single to married. From broke to rich. Single to married. I said from single to married. From broke to rich. Now I know where your interest is. From winning a few souls to winning many souls. Yes. To being productive in God's house. That will be your story. That will be your story. Some of you, the Lord said, I should say to you, all you enjoyed this year was money in your account. He said, next day you should testify of having things on ground. Having properties, having a business, having things on ground. Things that can be handed over. Do you know what I mean? You know, money can be passed on. Certificate cannot be passed on. You can't pass on your first class. Are you aware? But you can pass something on. Begin to trust God for it. I told you last year, still this year, that I saw myself next year where we are dedicating many businesses. Do you remember that? And let your own be one. I get to the point. From just having money in your account to having something, now there are some of you, not all of you, some of you are trusting God for a job and the job is not forthcoming. The Lord said, look deeper and point you towards something else. I'm pointing to something bigger than the jaw. I'm pointing you to the place. Pay attention to what I'm pointing you to. Because some of you, the Lord is pointing you, saying, leave that job. I want you to employ others. God will help you. Whereas there are some of you doing business and it's not working, God is saying, I'm saying, go and get a job. Yes, some of you, the Lord will send you away from entrepreneurship to where you begin to work. He said, the reason is because I want you to work and gain some sort of experience and I'll bring you back to that space. So pay attention to what God is saying. The year will be bigger. Bigger and better. Do you believe that? Can we rejoice in this place all over this with a shout?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.